sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are we going to talk about today?
It's a great question, Mel. It's honestly a great question, and I wish I had the answers to it. Ooh, wait, speaking about having the answers, do you guys have any good, like, really funny cheating stories? Obviously not you guys cheating, but, like, someone
like on
else
a test?
Cheating, of course.
Yeah, like on a test in school or something?
Yeah, yeah.
That was very vague. Because cheating could be anywhere.
I almost feel like everybody's cheated on at some point in time.
Okay, so we all agree, right?
Is that what you're saying? You agree with that?
I've cheated before on a test. Hand raised.
Yeah, I've cheated.
I unknowingly cheated.
Unknowingly?
Okay.
No, this is what happened.
Mr. LHS.
This happened in middle school. It was for a social studies test. Somebody had just taken it, and I didn't, like, ask what were the answers. I said what was covered. I was like, and I would name things, like, whatever we were covering. And they go, yeah, they asked about that. No, they didn't ask about that. And I remember I went home, and my mom's like, how'd the test go? And I was like, I did really well. I talked to Candy the period before, and she, like, clarified what I had to know. And she goes, that's cheating.
Oh, your mom ousted you.
And I was like, no, it's not. She goes, yeah, it is. And I was like, well, I think I did really well.
That's funny.
I actually think it's really smart.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, honestly, because not cheating.
Technically, it's not.
Right? Like, it's not cheating. It's just, it's getting intel on what to know.
Yeah.
You're not getting the answers. You're just clarifying what is on the test.
I mean, some teachers do that anyway because they give you a question and then an answer key. You know, they'll be like, these are what we're going to focus on the mm-hmm. test.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you were just doing that without the teacher doing that.
Yeah.
But as for, like, cheating, I remember I got caught on a spelling test. I got caught by a student. And they tried to blackmail me.
Blackmail you?
They were like, I'm going to tell the teacher unless you do this or something. I think it was like kiss their shoe. It was very weird. But that I was, of course, in sixth grade and like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Man, I
don't know why I did a voice. I probably sounded about the same.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle lost his, or is losing his voice. Thank for you. Those that are wondering why he's speaking like Bruce Wayne.
It's been going all day. The longer the day goes on, the less he can talk.
I just remember in high school, like, people would find the most creative ways to cheat. Like, the most creative ways. Like, you know, it's like, you know, we all know about, like, writing on the inside of your hand.
Yeah.
I know, or actually my sister told me about this, that there were some cheerleaders that would write the answers to tests on the bottom of their sneakers.
I've heard
then
that.
They would put their leg up over their knee, you know, like that, like as if they're, like, just folding their legs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they would see the answers and then, you know, write them all down. Or I remember
sometimes they would write it up their arm so you could pull your sleeve up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they would, like, make you, like, either roll your sleeves up. Like, if you were, like, in class, did you ever, like, were you ever in a class where they were like, if you're wearing long sleeves, you need to roll your sleeves up?
Mm-mm, they never did that.
Wait, really?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
See, that they made us do that a couple of times.
Because you guys aren't trustworthy.
No,
in
not at all. Not at all.
I like that you're looking at me.
I know.
Like, yeah, let's pair up
Chicagoan. Oh, come on.
Yeah,
right?
You cheaters. I don't know. Is that a common Nashville thing?
Oh, yeah, we're known for it. The Music City, more like the Music Cheaty. Anyway, look, we'll workshop that one. We'll workshop that one.
As bad as my voice.
I've got really two really funny stories
cheating.
That involve cheating. First of all, my very first day of Spanish, or maybe it was the first week of Spanish, I'll never forget. My buddy Jordan knew Spanish pretty well. I did not know it at all. And our teacher is one of my favorite teachers of all time, Miss Phillips. But she was not
really busy. Busy Phillips.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
All right, now we're even.
I was like, what? And then I was like,
now
oh,
we're
wait
even. Okay.
That was a lot better than music.
No,
cheating.
No. That was not that good. It was so
I'm
forced.
I'm not saying it's my best. I'm just saying you set the bar so low and it's still better than
okay.
that.
Okay.
Thank all you, right. Melissa. She is silently nodding, which is great for a podcast.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So on the very first week, we had to take this test, the Spanish test, and I'll never forget Miss Phillips, who I know and love to this day. Like, she is one of the sweetest ladies. And so, like, we became very, like, good, like, friends and stuff, even after high school and stuff. And I'm trying to get my buddy Jordan to help me on this test. And so I lean over and I'm like, Jordan. And I'm trying to get his attention. Well, little did I know, or at least know at this point, Jordan is deaf in his right ear.
Shut up.
And I'm sitting on his right. And so I'm, Jordan. And all of a sudden I hear, Mr. Huff, no cheating.
Oh, it called you out for the cheating
and
in
I was
front
like,
of the class.
Yeah, on like the first week of class. And I'm like, oh my gosh, first week I'm already getting busted for cheating. But luckily, no action was taken, okay? Fast forward to the end of the year. Final exam. It's like 100 questions, 50 Scantron questions, front and back of the Scantron, right? Now, this was a group effort, okay?
I hated those tests, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
As I stated before, Ms. Phillips, wonderful woman, wonderful lady, wonderful teacher, mm-hmm. just not good at teaching.
Okay.
So I guess the itinerary or the agenda from the class did not stick with us. And when I say us, I mean most of the class. Unless you were from, like, Venezuela, you were not speaking good Spanish.
Okay.
Do they speak Spanish in Venezuela?
They speak Venezuelan.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Okay. Okay.
The amount of things you guys say with such confidence.
Melissa just says stuff with confidence, and then you can just see, like, you can always, if you just stare at her long enough, she'll immediately start leaking confidence, like, right away. Just like, they speak Venezuelan. And then she's like, and then she like kind of does this like head nod, like, yeah, I know.
They speak Spanish.
Okay, I thought so. I've watched enough baseball in my day to know that Venezuelans
I can't
speak
say
Spanish.
How much I love you because, and I've mentioned it on the pod, on the air, off air. I wish I could take your confidence. I wish I could have
honestly,
the confidence that you have because when you say things with confidence, I know they're wrong.
9 times out of 10, I am completely messing around.
Yeah.
A lot of times I am. That one I was.
Earlier
I speak Venezuelan.
Earlier today. Did you guys do a promo?
Yeah, we did.
I was like, no, we have to redo it, Mel. Oh.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
But that yeah we did was so confident.
I know because nice.
I was like I respect
okay,
it.
Okay, nice.
I wish
I'm glad
I
you
agree.
Got it.
I wish I had that confidence. I wish I had that confidence in high school, which brings me back to my story.
Okay,
long winding road here.
All right, it's an abuela. Okay,
isn't that a grandma?
You tell me, Brainiac. So we're the final day of class. We're taking this exam. And Miss Phillips left the classroom. And, like, we always had, like, an hour. We had, like, an hour, like, I don't know if you guys, your exam days were like this. But you would always have an hour of study time.
Sometimes.
Leading up to the class.
Like
the exam time. And the exam would
like
be 2 hours.
Finals? Like,
yes, the finals.
Yeah, I think it kind of varied sometimes.
Yes, so you would have an hour of study time. And then you would have 2 hours to take the exam.
Mm-hmm.
So during that hour of study time, Ms. Phillips left the room. And when she left the room, She left the Scantron answer key.
What?
On her desk.
Stop it. Okay. I went up to her desk to see it.
Now, this is 2004, 2003, around that time. Digital cameras are becoming all of the rage, right? Someone, not going to name names, took a photo of the Scantron with it like facing up, and took a photo of it and got all of the answers. And then I forget how. I think we maybe passed around the digital camera or something. You could zoom in and you could see the answers. Guys, I'm not kidding you to this day. Me, as well as many other people in the class, it was only one side of the Scantron, so I was 50 of the 100 questions. I'll never forget, Miss Phillips is going over my final exam with me. And she's like, I got maybe like a 70-something on it or something. Miss Phillips goes, it's so weird. You did really good on this side of the Scantron. But on this side, you know, you struggled a little bit. This is where you missed all your answers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's weird. I don't know. And no joke, almost the entire class was that. I don't think she was keen to it. But if she wasn't, she did not say anything. She did not bring it up, and it was just like did not care. But everyone in the class did really well on that one side of the Scantron.
It's funny that you bring up the Scantron thing, though, because I remember there was, I think it was biology when I was at Larkin. I don't know the full story of this, because all I knew was a day or two before the final, our teacher comes in. It was an older man. And he was like, guys, I just want to say how disappointed in some of you I am. How I've worked here for so many years, and I'm just severely disappointed in what some of you have decided to do. I know you're expecting the final. We're going to have to change some things up. And he like walked out, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, what was that about?
Yeah.
And it turned out two of the kids in my class, and I know which two they were because they confessed to it later, like stole the Scantron off his desk and like studied it or whatever, and he caught it later or something. Like he saw it
so
around.
So they got busted.
And they got busted like that, because I always remember. Because I know you said, Mr. Ellie, Jess, I don't remember cheating in high school, because like one of the harder classes I was in was AP English, and you can't really a lot of those tests were writing.
Yeah.
So you can't really cheat.
Right.
I don't remember, like, looking over any. I remember in college, awesome. Did you guys have
I know.
I know.
He's so good. He's such a good guy. Mr. LHS, he's the all-star.
Did you guys have those clickers in college?
For one of my classes.
Mine
was
called like an iClicker or something. It was literally called that, where it was like it had like a A, B, C, D on it. And then like in the class, you'd be there and you'd have to register for the class and it'd pop up and you'd have to enter your answer or whatever. One of the classes I was in, I think it was sexual communications. Shout out University of Illinois. But I remember they would always say, like, we have all the TAs are at the top of the lecture hall watching you. So if you cheat, I'm like, I'm literally also at the top, like looking straight. And I'm like, are they really going to, I'm not going to do this, but yeah. I'm like, I could easily just look around and not move my head and see. That was probably the most cheating I did, but.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory about your Mrs. Phillips.
Oh, what was it? You think she did
know? She was trying to get him to confess?
No. I think she left the answer sheet on her desk on purpose.
Why?
See if you guys would cheat.
Because I think she wanted to not have to redo the test over for everybody, because it's extra work. So she's like, oh.
She's like, I'll leave this out and they can get. I don't think she suspected anyone to take a photo of the Scantron.
Can I bring up a story of the meanest thing a teacher ever did to me during a test?
What?
Back at U of I, my last class I took was a journalism law class. And The professor, I don't think, works there anymore, but that professor was known for, that was the hardest class you would take at if you were a journalism major. Like, I think 80% of your grade came from the final, and it was just, it was tough. And so, like, everybody stressed. And the final was curved. So I want to say, even in my class, I technically got a D on the final, but because it curved so much, I ended up getting, like, a B minus in class. Like, that's how tough that class
Thank
was.
Thank God for curves.
Thank God for the curves.
I loved curves.
It's awesome.
I still love curves.
I remember when I, the first time I saw, like, because I saw, like, your original score, and then after the curve, I saw my original score. I went, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, curve. I was like, I'm back, baby.
Yeah, you're like, thank you to all those all the dumb kids out in this class.
Yeah. It still makes me feel bad about myself, though, because I needed the curve to get a better grade.
Because you want, in a, when you grade on a curve, you want dumber kids in your class, right?
Yeah, you
want the dumbest kids.
Yeah, see, that was always my, like, I feel like my luck with curves was, like, everyone in the class was always smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd still just be at the bottom of the curve.
But I remember, so in that final, there was one question that I was really hung up on. I can't remember the question or anything, but I remember, because, you know, it's like, because it was like a law class, it was like legal terms were involved. So you had to read like every little detail. And so when I was done, I walked up to the professor. That was the only one I hadn't filled out yet. And I asked him, like, okay, can I ask a question? And asked him to kind of further explain, and he did. And I realized, and I said out loud, all right, so it's not this one or this one, so it's between these two. And I circled like C, and I looked at him, and he just nodded, and he took a pen, and he crossed out C, circled the other one that it was supposed to be, and then just slowly took my test away.
Oh.
As if, like, you were wrong. And I went, oh, man. Because at first I thought he was telling me, like, circle B. And I was kind of like, hell yeah. And then I was like, ugh, that sucked. But.
So you didn't get it right.
Didn't get it
right. Like, I mean, but, like that wasn't him, like, pretending to be you, like, no. Saying, hey, let's keep this between you and me.
No, yeah.
That's what I thought, too.
That would have been a cool, like, but you know, a Dead Poets Society moment, you know?
That test did get me out of a ticket at U of I.
How so?
Finals week, that's my final time. Like, my finals.
Oh, wait, I think I know this story.
We're at a bar, me and Haley, and we decide, hey, we're going to go to another bar, go see our friends.
Classic at U of I.
Yeah. You can get into
one bar to the next bar.
Yeah, one bar. They were taking the bar exams. None of them were law students.
Oh. So we were on our way, and I said, hey, I just got to make a quick pit stop in this alley, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, gross.
So I go, and as I'm done.
Yeah, we know what you're saying. We know what you're saying.
A cop pulled up.
Oh.
And I immediately, like, you know, I'm busted. So I, you know. Literally, I think I threw my hands in the air.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Haley doesn't know this is happening. As the cop is coming up and talking to me, Haley sees somebody that she knows. And Haley and I had started dating maybe like 4 or 5 months before this. So still kind of new. And the person's talking to her, one of her friends. Her friend goes, hey, is that your boyfriend? She goes, what do you mean? Yeah. It's me talking to two cops. And the cops were, you know, like...
Were you able to zip up?
Yes, I was fully walking away. They at least gave me the courteous.
Okay.
And they were just like,
that's good.
They were talking to me. And at one point, I remember they asked, can you pay, the ticket's going to be whatever it was, like 80, 90 bucks. Like, can you pay it? And I said, I mean, do I have money right now? No, but can I pay it in the future? Absolutely. Like, I'm not going to not pay this ticket. And then I just started going on about my journalism law exam. So tough. I don't even know if I'm going to pass. I don't think I'm going to pass my final class. Might have to come back this summer before grad. Like, started sob story.
And these cops are like, all we asked was, all we asked was, can you pay this ticket?
Can we get back in our car and go give somebody else a ticket?
And I said out loud.
I'm regretting taking this guy in.
Is there any way I could get out of this? And one of the cops was like, let's see what we can do. And
aww.
I always believed the journal, because then they were like, look, just, we don't, like, congrats.
So you name dropped journalism law, and
they
you
were
think
like,
that,
oh,
the cops
these...
were like, oh, he's one of us.
He's back in the blue.
Fighting the good fight. Yeah.
We'll see you out here soon, soldier.
Oh, so you're on the right side of justice. Okay. You know what? Continue pissing.
Come in, go to the bathroom anytime.
In fact, you know what? You need a poop? go ahead. We'll turn our backs.
We'll turn our backs. No one else, though. Yeah. They just said that we don't want to see you anymore tonight. And then I think I went to a bar and I just ordered two beers by myself.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, I deserve this.
I deserve this. I earned this beer. So the only reason I want to share this story is because my parents listen to this podcast regularly.
It's a bad time for you to tell me that.
I know. Yeah. They're going to think so differently of you right now.
Hypothetically.
I need Meredith to listen to this podcast so she'll think negatively of you for the first time in her life.
Meredith? Big Kyle fan.
She's obsessed with Kyle.
I love it.
It's so annoying.
What's the latest instance? Was it the University of Illinois?
What do you mean?
Her picking them to go far because of me?
Yeah, yeah. In the in March Madness bracket, she picked Illinois. And I go, why'd you pick Illinois? Because you love Kyle? She goes, yeah. And I go, wait, seriously? I was joking. And she goes, yeah, I love Kyle. I didn't know who else to pick. And I was like, your sister went to Purdue. Oh, wow. I would have done you well in the tournament. She's like, no, I like Kyle. Kyle convinced me. And I was like, how did he convince you? I don't know. He's always talking about Illinois on your show. Okay.
Glad she listens.
Yeah. So, my parents listen, and this name is not going to mean anything to you guys. Well, maybe you guys, no, you haven't met him, but he's one of my best friends from high school. I talk about him all the time. Jeff Venable. Mm-hmm. He's a music video director. Now he's doing commercials more, but he directed a lot of music videos in Nashville. A couple of Brad Paisley videos.
Is this an awesome Jay famous Gowen. Friends we've
no, it, he's
never
not
heard
famous.
Of?
You guys don't know him. So awesome. He is not the famous,
famous
oh my
friends
God.
That thank we you. Have never heard of.
Okay. All right. So anyway, Jeff in high school was a really good kid. I don't want to say the term goody two shoes, but he was a goody two shoes.
Okay.
He was always abiding by the law. In fact, of the three best friends that we always hung out, me, Jeff, and Garrett, Jeff was always the one that was like keeping Garrett and I in line. And really good kid and really like creative, go getter, worked hard. My mom would always say, like, he one time by mistake got two photos in the yearbook. And my mom was like, why can't you get two photos in the yearbook? Like, Jeff, see, he's a go-getter. He's going to be something one day.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Wow. I know. It's classic.
Wow. Your mom's hilarious.
I know. And so that was like, that just like gives you an idea of who he was. Now, that's who my parents still think Jeff is.
Mm.
He's not?
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle in for this story. World geography. Senior year of high school, world geography, we had a teacher named Dr. Hollis Gilliland, and Dr. Gilliland was he was a very southern man and very big pot belly and just like very old school, and like you could say, Dr. Gilliland, could you tell us about World War II tanks? He would talk about World War II tanks for all 45 minutes of class, and then the bell would ring and you wouldn't actually get to the assignments that you needed to get to. It was awesome.
In
fact, classes before would be like, hey, bring up this topic to him.
And oh, we've had teachers like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so
awesome.
And like he's not like he's there, but he's not all there. Okay,
all right. Yeah.
And during the I guess it was the hour study period before the final exam, he gets up and leaves the classroom, and in that time, a lot of people in the classroom started looking for the Scantron, the answer key, because we knew he would leave it out somewhere. So people are searching desks, like on top of the desk in drawers. Jeff is one of these people, okay? Jeff is looking in, and Jeff is looking in the filing cabinet, going through files and stuff.
Oh, my
looking
goodness.
For this thing.
I'd be scared to death.
Someone's
that.
Standing watch at the door for when he comes back. That person, at one point, he's coming back. Everyone scattered, went back to their seats. For whatever reason, Jeff, whether he thought he had a couple more seconds to search or he didn't hear the watch guard or what, still filing, ruffling through this filing cabinet.
Oh, my goodness.
Dr. G comes back, opens up the door. Mr. Venable. Very, very Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
If I had to compare him to a cartoon character, Foghorn Leghorn.
If you
Leghorn.
Had to.
Yeah. Mr. Venable. He goes, son, what are you doing? And Jeff, God love him, when he's panicked and when he is caught in a moment of trouble, not the fastest thinker in the world.
Sounds like me.
not quick on his feet, which is funny because I ended up doing improv with him years later. And he was great there.
First of all, Mel, if we were to catch you doing something like this, you would just be like, nothing. And the confidence you would say that with would be so good.
Mel would be like, I'm not doing anything.
I'm not doing anything.
And I'd be like,
why is the filing cabinet open?
It's not.
Touche. Got me on that one.
And then you'd get in your own head, was the filing cabinet?
I'm so confused.
So she goes, Mr. Venable, what are you doing? And Jeff's like, I'm looking for my pen.
Oh, buddy.
And again, Dr. Gilliland, not always all there, was just like, get back to your seat right now. Jeff got in no trouble.
He did it?
Whatsoever.
What? Oh, wow.
Dude was literally caught red-handed looking, going through the filing cabinet. And his excuse was he's looking for his pen. Oh, like I dropped my pen. I think it might have fallen into your third filing cabinet.
Oh, my.
That
the third
is
drawer.
So
just
funny.
It didn't bounce off the floor and into this locked filing cabinet? That's weird. That's the thing, too.
Gosh.
I think the filing cabinet was locked. I think we found the keys.
Are you serious?
And Jeff started going through it. So
he's
it was
lucky
a locked
he didn't
filing
get in
cabinet.
He's so
and it just goes to say, look, I'm glad he didn't get in trouble because I was in that class and that would have just caused repercussions for all of us. But I'm also part of me is a little bit annoyed because his pristine reputation would have been tarnished just a little bit.
Mm.
In the eyes of my parents.
Tear them down a
little
bit.
Oh, in the eyes of your parents.
Yeah, and then,
oh,
my, parents, and then my parents would have been like, well, you know, maybe it's a good thing you weren't so much like Jeff. Why would you ever drop a pen in a filing cabinet?
Because they are going to hear this, and now they're going to know. So the
I know.
Next time
my
they
parents,
see Jeff.
I will probably get a text message after this episode, after they listen to it. So I'll keep you guys posted on that.
It just says, we had to stop listening after that Kyle P story. It was too much for us.
They're like, Kyle P in an alley?
That's not the Kyle we know.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.